Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Police catch the suspect in the shooting deaths of five people in Texas. CBS's Matt Piper.
Francisco Oropeza has been on the run since Friday night. That's when officials say he shot and killed five of his neighbors, all originally from Honduras. Officials say Oropeza was taken into custody 2 hours ago in Montgomery County, Texas. We learned yesterday that the 38-year-old had been deported four times after entering the U.S. illegally. And on Sunday, officials said the suspect's trail had grown cold, one of the reasons they were offering an $80,000 reward. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Film and TV writers are on strike. Pay is a sticking point, and the Writers Guild of America was unable to reach an agreement with various studios. Matthew Baloney with Puck News.
The writers see themselves as being left behind, and they see themselves as being increasingly marginalized in an entertainment economy that is only benefiting the top 1%.
Now adding to their outrage, salaries of many top studio execs have been released publicly to their shareholders. They reveal several entertainment CEOs made more than $30 million in pay last year.
That's CBS's Elise Preston in L.A. The Pentagon says 1,500 more troops are being sent to the U.S.-Mexico border in preparation for a possible rise in migrants when COVID border restrictions soon expire. Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder.
For 90 days, these 1,500 military personnel who will be sourced from the active duty component will fill critical capability gaps, such as ground-based detection and monitoring, data entry, and warehouse support.
A judge finds former Minneapolis police officer Tu Tao guilty of aiding and abetting manslaughter in the death of George Floyd. Tao held back bystanders. WCCO-TV legal contributor Joe Tamburino says this could set new precedent for future policing.
No, police officers have now a duty to pay attention to what the onlookers are saying. Must they stop what they're doing in order to talk to the onlookers and see what their concerns are? That's going to take a lot of manpower if that's the case.
A biannual survey by AMN Healthcare has polled 18,000 registered nurses on their career satisfaction. 30% say they are likely to leave the profession due to staffing shortages exacerbated by the pandemic, up 7 points since 2021. National Nurses United President Deborah Berger.
Within a year, a third of them leave nursing because they cannot manage to get all of the work done that they need done in the conditions that they're put in.
A judge denies a request by Montana transgender representative Zoe Zephyr to return to the House floor after being silenced by Republican colleagues over her comments on a bill banning gender-affirming health care for minors. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
So you just used bug spray in your home. Now what? Well, between the waiting and waiting for things to dry up and keeping your family away from the mess, it hits you. You could have used Zevo. Unlike other bug sprays that stick around, Zevo goes from kill to clean in seconds. Plus, it's safe for use around people and pets when used as directed. Zevo, people friendly, bug deadly.
Leroy, 71's backed up. What's your 20? Over.
Olivia needs more drivers for her trucking company to go the extra mile.
I've got three more stops to make.
She wants to hitch a team to drive business forward.
Lots of double nickels on the 169. You know what I'm over? This driver shortage.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Bug Tussle has been your trusted rural internet provider since 2003. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet where others can't or won't. At an honest price, without any contracts or data caps, Bug Tussle has the plan that's right for you. Get connected with Bug Tussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment by calling 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, May 3rd. In Wood County, the Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids Public School District will hold a Title VI public hearing from 6 to 7 p.m. at McMillan Library. This informational meeting is to raise awareness around the WRPS Title VI Indian Education Program. It's intended to foster strong relationships between Native American families and the school community. In Portage County, the Executive Operation Committee will meet at 4 p.m. and the Public Library Board meeting will begin at 4:30. The Stevens Point Park Commission will meet at 6:30. In Adams County, the Board of Adjustment will meet from 10:30 to noon at the Adams County Community Center. The Planning and Zoning Committee will meet from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 30. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 59. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 39. Upper 60s Thursday, mid 60s by Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 41.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
At Soyco, the liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
At Soyco,
Ticked off, tee off, this is it.
Scobody boom boom, scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
What was your first job? More importantly, how old were you when you were first employed? 844-967-2789. And I'm not talking about babysitting. I'm not talking about mowing your neighbor's lawn or shoveling. I'm like, actually applied for a job, got hired, had a W-2. How old were you? 844-967-2789. And I'll tell you in a second why I'm bringing this up. But Jane, how old were you?
I want to say I was either 15 or 16. And I got my first real job at an A&W.
You got a really cute outfit?
Oh, yeah, it was orange. It's just so my color.
But no, I think we've talked about this before. No rollerblades.
No roller skates. I was not on skates. Roller skates. But I did, yes, I did dump an entire tray of root beer floats onto a customer's lap who was sitting in the car. So, yeah, that was memorable.
Didn't you also give, like, crank numbers or something like that?
Yeah, we would put fake phone numbers inside of cute boys' hamburgers and then listen on the intercom as they bit into their hamburger to see what they would say. Yeah, I was a great employee, Kristen.
Great employee at 15. Exactly what 15-year-olds should be doing on their first job, right? I actually think my first employment was an acting gig instead of... I think my very first job where I like was hired was a seasonal worker at Pier 1, so retail, and I would have been 17. But I think right before that, I had booked a job on Judging Amy.
Oh, cool.
We were in L.A., and I'm pretty sure, and prior to that, when I was living in Wisconsin, it was like babysitting and stuff like that. But I wasn't actually like, didn't have a job or like a part-time job. And so we'll say 17 was how old I was at my first job. And but I would love to hear from you. Like, what is the right age to start working? And I'm bringing this up because it's one thing to have a part-time job, which I think is good. Sometimes you need it. Sometimes it teaches work ethic. Largely it does both. But more importantly, should people as young as 14 in Wisconsin be serving alcohol? Out of all the jobs they could have as a 14-year-old to teach work ethic, to make some extra money.
Responsibility.
Should that include serving alcohol? Which there is a new bill that the co-sponsors say creates a simple solution to the food industry workforce shortage, which would change the age or lower the age of employees to be able to serve liquor, not at the bar, but to tables.
Right.
And I have a lot of feelings about the bill, a lot of feelings about the efficacy of does this actually, is this the fastest way to solving this problem? But I also just thought it was interesting as far as kid minors and working and what we expect of them now, what we expected of ourselves, what kind of jobs are appropriate for teenagers. And so I thought I'd open it up and see what your first job was and how old you were when you first got employed. 844-967-2789. And, you know, this bill is, it's far from getting passed. It's just been introduced. It's not something that has even come out of committee, made it through both Assembly and Senate, let alone sitting on Evers' desk. So it's a ways away.
But this has happened in other states already.
Yeah. So, and there's a lot of different ways I feel like this conversation can go as far as where, what this is, what it means. Does it solve, is this the fastest way to solve what the co-sponsors are saying, which is addressing the labor shortage? And I would say no, because how many 14 to 17 year olds are working in restaurants that serve alcohol that they're just not still just delivering the drinks? Like, even if they're not supposed to, are they really just like, well, I can't touch that drink? And so I don't know if this, does this open up? There's a bunch of kids working in who would work in restaurants if they could serve liquor. Like, I just don't know if this gets at the root of the problem they're trying to solve versus there's probably some, a handful of taverns or restaurants are like, this is annoying when we have kids who are 17 and younger who can't do this part of their job.
Right.
But to veil this or promote this as a way to address the labor shortage in the food industry, I feel like it's a little bit disingenuous.
844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. What was the first job you ever had and how old were you? Carrie from the town of Polk. Thank you for joining us, Carrie. What do you want to say?
Hi. I was 16. I was paid $1.60 an hour. And because I'm very old, I'm 68. And it was at the Gourmet House in South Milwaukee, and I can say that because it's been shut down forever.
The Gourmet House? Was the Gourmet House a restaurant?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And we used to work 50, 60 hours a week. And that was on weekends and, well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it would be, like, grueling. And if you think that 16, 17-year-olds can't find the alcohol,
yes,
at a restaurant that they're working at, that's just silly. But if they just paid a little more, they wouldn't need 14-year-olds.
Exactly.
Well, and I think that's the point, is there, and it's not that you shouldn't work hard. It's not that it's a big deal if they're delivering drinks. It's more of like, is this actually getting at the root cause of what you're trying to solve as far as making these jobs more appealing versus just making it easier to hire younger and younger and younger?
Right. If you're 14, what your minimum wage is like a gold mine. But if you're trying to support a family I had people who worked with me who were just trying to support their families. And this is just mean-spirited to say 14-year-olds can do it.
Well, and Carrie, my other thought was, if I had a 14-year-old daughter, I do not want her serving drinks to a bunch of people, even if they're sitting down. I'm sorry, but I don't. I think it's bad enough that our 16- and 17-year-old girls have to deal with some of the naughty things that happen in restaurants.
I saw you pause. Keep yourself from saying what you wanted to say.
It's just, I don't know that that is a good idea.
I know. I don't either. And I had the fortune, I lived in South Milwaukee and everybody knew everybody else. So there wasn't a problem with
misbehavior.
Behavior. Although I did walk in the basement and catch one of the chefs taking a shower, which was really still blocked in my mind.
It's a core memory at this point.
Yes, it is. It is. Now I'm going to have it in there for
the day.
Thank you so much, Carrie. We really appreciate you checking in. 844-967-2789. What was your first job? How old were you? Gary from Sussex is joining us. Hey, Gary, what's going on?
Okay, Jane, I worked for my uncle and my grandpa. So this was a family business, and we were in construction, like cement business. So on Saturdays, I would go and help them pick up forms, and I'd scrape the forms that they use to form the concrete with a flat shovel. And I made a nickel an hour doing that.
A nickel an hour.
A nickel an hour. And then some old guy was standing there watching me, and my grandpa was just, you know, harassing me a little bit, saying, come on, Gary, put your shoulder in, you know, like a grandpa would do. Go harder. Well, some old guy starts yelling at my grandpa, telling, there's child labor laws out there. And then when he told him how much I was making, the guy starts screaming and hollering. And I told the guy, I said, mister, please don't yell at my grandpa. I want this job because I can buy 5 packs of bubble gum and a baseball card with the bubble gum. And to me, 25 cents at the end of the day was a lot of money. I could buy candy bars and everything. Then when I was 10, then I worked full time during every day during the summertime. And then so on and so on until finally my body kind of broke down by the time I was like 25, and I end up getting a different job, and now I own a heating and air conditioning business. But so I didn't have any W-2s until I think I was like 14.
But you were working.
So you were working. And so I guess looking back at it and your experience, do you think it's a good thing? Would you have your kids do it? Like, that seems really young to be doing labor, but it's also a family business. So I understand kind of the dynamics there versus you going out and getting sent to work for someone else at like 8 or 9. But like looking back at it, especially if your body gave out by the time you're 25, would you do it again?
Well, not in the concrete business. Now, my brother is a year and a half younger than I am, and he's still doing it. He has his own business, and his body's really broken down. Me, I'm in pretty good shape. I do Ironman triathlons and stuff like that, but I was concerned when I got married. My wife was really worried about me, coming home at night just busted, you know. So my body did recover. But the thing is, my mom, if I wanted a bike or if I wanted clothes other than underwear, my mom said, you have to buy your own. My mom was tough. My mom was very loving. But because of that, taught me to have a really good work ethic. And all of my brothers and siblings and sister, we all have our own businesses, and we're all doing really, really well in life because my mom taught us if you work hard, you can make it. And that's what I want to tell other people: you work harder than other people, and you will thrive. If you want to just sit there and just go along with the ride and whatever. You'll never make it to the top.
Thank you so much, Gary. We are coming up against a break. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. How old were you and what was your first job? This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Go on and kill me. That's what it's coming to when a mother has kids like you.
Kids.
All the chicken soup that I made for you.
Mama, take it easy.
Kids. Now you throw me out like a worn-out shoe.
Not in front of everybody.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Child labor's back in a big way. Child labor in the totally not evil USA. Hey, kids, if you know what's good, you'll sacrifice your childhood to save the economy. It's child labor. What do we know?
Minimum wage has been held back for decades. The workforce is pushing back.
What do we know?
Employers pay low and say no one wants to work anymore like they always have.
There was a 37% rise last year in child labor law violations. So several states, well, no, they loosened regulations on child labor.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. That was a song I fittingly found yesterday, not even knowing I was going to talk about it. We were going to start here today on the show by Emerson Brophy. Found that on TikTok.
It's pretty good.
And we'll talk more after this segment. And I struggle because the bill that we're talking about that got proposed is basically saying 14 to 17 year olds can serve alcohol in bars and restaurants so long as the patrons are not sitting at the bar but seated at a table.
Right.
And this last night, I think, stirred reactions. And it stirred reaction as far as, well, what is this? We will now, if this were to pass, Wisconsin, not shockingly, would be the only state that lets 14 year olds deliver alcohol, which, you know, ties into our, you know, reputation as far as our drinking.
Get them started young.
And I get the work ethic, and we're asking people at home, how old were you when you got your first job? And not babysitting, not like making money, you know, kind of
by just getting
people giving you cash to do some
right.
work versus like I applied for a job, I got the job. And this is how old I was when I had that job. And so we're going to read some of your texts. And I put this on Twitter, so we'll read some of those. And so it's not that I'm against teenagers working, but there is a line, right? And across the country, as that song playfully depicts, they're loosening child labor laws across the country.
Yes.
And so we'll get more into the details of that in the next segment. But want to first ask you, how old were you when you got your first job? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
414 says, I got my first job. I was 13. I detasseled corn in northern Indiana for the entire summer.
Detasseled corn. Is detasseling different than just peeling corn?
Well, I think you just pull the silk off the top, right?
I don't know. The most I that was a chore in my house, which is like go in the summer because we had corn in the cob almost every night when it was in season, go peel the corn outside so you don't get the silk everywhere in the house,
right?
But I didn't know what the difference of detasseling versus peeling would be.
Well,
it sounds more official.
I think it's kind of the same thing.
Okay.
844-967-2784. 844-96-PARTY. It's shorter that way.
It's shorter that way.
From the 262, is there a group of people who care less about the well-being of Wisconsin than the Tavern League and GOP lawmakers? Eighth graders serving liquor, terrible DUI laws and punishments. There is no end to the depravity.
And I think that's the thing that it's like, I just come back to this bill feeling like, is this really that big of a problem? Because it's hard for me to imagine that if there's 14 to 17-year-olds who are already working in bars and restaurants, that everyone kind of just isn't like turn an eye and just let them deliver a beer from the bar to the table. And that this is really getting in the way of how many people are choosing to work at a bar and restaurant. Or it's getting in the way of a 14 to 17-year-old, like, well, I'm not going to apply for that job because I can't do it. Or unless it's that there's so many 14 and 17-year-olds applying to work at restaurants and the restaurants and bars are saying, well, we can't hire you because you can only do part of the job.
You can only bus. You can only whatever. But you can't deliver drinks.
And so I'm just not convinced that this moves the needle in the same way. But I'm also just interested. I think it's just an interesting question of how old we were when we first got our first jobs. And so on Twitter, I put the same question out, and you can always follow us on Twitter at As Goes Wisconsin. I got one said at 11, delivered the Milwaukee Journal.
I bet there were a lot of kids who did that. A
lot of kids who I think had a paper route.
Oh, yeah.
15, lifeguarding at the YMCA.
Okay.
15, I did clerical work, mostly filing, but also invoicing receivables for the accounting department of local chain of hardware, for a local chain of hardware stores. 16, worked at a local candy store. That seems like a good
first job. That's not a bad job.
15, worked at Waukesha County at the Expo. 17, sporting goods at Shopko. 14, catering wait staff and food prep.
Oh.
15, food pizza. Like for a pizza frozen custard place. And so like, I think all of these, the one that has stood out the most, that kind of sounds the most like me, is a woman named Joy Powers said that she got, her first job was at 12 and she played Katie/Kirsten in Circle of Friends, an American Girl musical. And oh. I wrote back, I said, you got paid to do that at 12?
She must have been good.
And so she wrote back, she said, I did. I had short gigs before that. But American Girl was my first regular job. I worked there until I was 15 when I started to feel weird about pretending to be a 10-year-old girl. Although I never actually sized out of the costumes. I'm still a stately 5'2".
Oh, that's hilarious. Hey, we have an answer to detasseling, by the way, from the 414. I wrote on a machine that went between the rows of corn and I pulled the tassels off. This was hardcore labor.
Wow.
And in the summertime and... You know, tractors now are so sophisticated that you have shade and all those things. It may not have been like that back in the day.
Because what was your job after A&W?
I was a thistle picker on the pea line at a cannery. But I was 18. That was the summer before I went to college.
Did it pay more than A&W?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't recall specifically, but I'm pretty sure it paid more than A&W. And after A&W, actually, I worked at a local pharmacy. They still had a soda counter.
That's fun. So. All right. We're going to keep talking about this through the break. So what was your first job? How old were you when you got it? 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back.
Okay, the workforce is pushing back. What do we know? Employers pay low and say no one wants to work anymore like they always have. There was a 37% rise.
WAUK 540 AM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, "Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out."
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps. Truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. A family is displaced in Marshfield after a fire last night. Marshfield Fire and Rescue responded to a structure fire on South Cedar Avenue in Marshfield around 11:30 Monday night. When firefighters arrived, there was visible smoke and audible crackling within the home. Everyone was able to get out before the fire crew entered to put out the fire. No injuries were reported. The home has moderate damage to all floors, including the attic and basement. The fire was caused by some kind of electrical failure. Governor Evers says he hasn't agreed on a new plan touted by Assembly Republicans to send more state money to local governments in Wisconsin. It would increase shared revenue by 10% and let Milwaukee and Milwaukee County raise their own sales taxes. Democrats say they're wary of all the strings Assembly Republicans want to attach to that new money. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 30. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 59. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 39. Upper 60s Thursday, mid 60s by Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 41.
They can deliver drinks from the bar to patrons. And it's just brought up a lot of conversation as far as, I think on the one hand, there is conversations around already Wisconsin's reputation and our issues with alcohol, we should say. We are I remember this was fall of 2021, and it would be interesting to see updated data on this, but nationally, underage drinking is declining. Across the country.
Well, that's good news.
Not in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And so I helped out with a small talks campaign from the Department of Health, Wisconsin's Department of Health. They were doing a small talks campaign showing that one of the things that really curbs alcohol, underage drinking, is having conversations with your kids about drinking and not just kind of avoiding the topic in general. And so I did a couple TikToks talking about that and whatever. And I talked about, I'm pretty sure the first time I drank was summer going into freshman year. So I would have been 14. So like we have a lot. We already have teenagers and who drink a fair amount in the state. We drink a lot as a state in general. And is that kind of like, well, what's the big deal then?
It's going to happen anyway.
It's going to happen anyways. Just let them have this be part of the job if they're going to be working at a bar or restaurant anyways. Is it something that we should be aware of? Is it also the conversation around labor shortage in general? And is the way to save, to address the labor shortage just to make the laws easier for younger and younger people to work? And I'm just interested where you fall on this as far as like, what is your gut knee-jerk reaction when you hear there's a new proposal to allow 14-year-olds, so that's eighth graders or freshmen in high school, to be serving alcohol out of all the jobs they could have as a 14-year-old? Like, is that what you want your 14-year-old doing? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
We have a text from the 608. I was 8 years old in Milwaukee in the 80s, helping my father deliver the Milwaukee Journal papers in downtown Milwaukee. The Sunday Journal back then was 4 inches thick and weighed 5 pounds because of all the ads and coupons. We had a 250-plus newspaper route. I also had a small Sentinel route where I lived until I was about 12.
Wow.
See, a lot of kids did that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't serving alcohol.
And what do you see as the difference?
That was something you could do before school. I guess you did, there was a morning and afternoon paper, so you did your paper route twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still home, I would think, by 7 o'clock. Whereas if you're working in a restaurant and you're 14 years old, you could be working until 10.
Yeah.
Right?
Or on the week. I mean, I guess unless you're working the weekends.
On the weekends.
And I just, does it become a slippery slope as far as loosening the rules in the name of addressing the labor shortage? Does it put us in a position where instead of debating, proposing, passing legislation like raising the minimum wage, addressing childcare costs,
exactly,
like a lot of the other things that help working adults have better working conditions or get people back to work in other ways, that the solution is, well, we'll just get more kids to work. Like it just doesn't compute for me, I would say. But if someone has a good argument as far as like, the only argument I kind of see is this is potentially already happening, because it's hard for me to imagine, especially at mom and pop type restaurants or taverns up north and stuff like that, if you're 15 being a waitress, you might just be delivering the beer from the bar anyways.
Anyway, right.
And so it's like, why do we need legislation on this? Like, so no one's been able to explain to me how much of an issue this really is and how like ubiquitous it actually is.
Well, and I find it interesting, you know, we have labor shortages in all different kinds of areas, certainly not just in restaurants.
Yes.
So are we going to have a whole bunch of Doogie Howsers now? And we have doctor shortages. We have nursing shortages. We have teacher shortages. We have all kinds of shortages that, at least I don't think, 14-year-olds are going to be able to step in and fill.
No.
So as you said, this is not a full-fledged solution for the problems we're having with our labor market. And it's not because people are so lazy that they don't want to work.
No, not at all.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. How old were you when you got your first job? What was it? And what do you think about 14-year-olds being allowed to deliver drinks in restaurants to customers sitting at a table? 262, my first job at 15 was peeling bark off of trees so it would be ready for the paper mill. Paper mill job as a teenager, that sounds tough.
Yeah.
That's thistle picker on a pea line kind of tough.
Peeling bark I can imagine your fingernails were just wrecked. We're not necessarily spending a lot of money on manicures.
Probably not. I'm sure you had tools. I doubt that they had to do it just with their nails.
But I'm sure, and now I'm sure they have machines that do that. Which right. is interesting to think about.
Yeah.
So I wanted to run through. Do we have any more texts for now?
Not for now.
More Perfect Union, which is an organization that's a media company or like an independent media that is focuses on working people issues. And they did a whole thread on this as far as talking about the slippery slope of child labor. And Wisconsin's not on here yet, thankfully.
Yet.
But I just thought I would run through in the last couple months what bills have been getting proposed and passed across the country. So in Arkansas, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders signed a bill into law that dramatically expands the ability of companies to employ children under 16. The state doesn't even have to verify the age of children under 16 before they take the job.
Oh, they don't have to verify the age.
They don't have to verify the age with this new bill.
By the way, and this is just a side note, Google the photograph of Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders signing that bill surrounded by the children and look at how happy those faces are.
Are you being sarcastic?
I am being very sarcastic.
How old are the kids?
Oh, they're like 11, 12, 13. Yeah, they look like they're being sent off to work.
Grim.
Yeah.
In New Jersey, blue state, largely, Governor Murphy signed Assembly Bill number 4222 into law, which would allow corporations to employ teens to work up to 50 hours a week, lengthen the time between mandatory breaks, and remove parental and school district consent to work.
Say that last part again.
So basically, the new bill would let teenagers work up to 50 hours a week.
Okay.
Lengthen the time between mandatory breaks. So right now, if you have to take a break every 2 hours,
right,
it's every 4 hours, something like that. And remove parental and school district consent to work.
How can that be? That the parents don't have to consent to their kid working 50 hours a week? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. But that is...
What happened to parental rights? What happened to...
I don't know. Maybe they're saying if a kid wants to work, they should be able to work, whether or not their parents want them to.
Wow.
Yeah. In Minnesota... A bill was introduced,
in a very Democratic state,
yeah,
Minnesota.
So it hasn't been signed yet, but this one's been introduced that would lift restrictions on hazardous work and extend work hours. Specifically, it would roll back requirements that bar 16 and 17-year-olds from working in construction. Which, again, makes sense as far as if they have a labor shortage as far as construction workers, if they want younger to open it up for younger people with young, healthy bodies.
Right.
Like Gary.
Right.
Was it Gary?
Yeah, it was Gary.
In 2022, so this was last year, Nebraskans voted to increase the minimum wages from $9 to $10.50 by the end of the year. This year, a Republican state senator introduced a sub-minimum wage for workers aged 14 to 17, also called a youth minimum wage.
Of how much?
And maybe it goes back to $9.
Oh, nice.
I'd have to go look at the full article. In New Hampshire, lawmakers voted to extend work hours for teens, allowing 48 hours of work per week in the summer and 35 hours per week during the school year. The legislation also lowered the age to bus tables where alcohol is served from 15 to 14. So if it was passed there, they would also be 14 like us if it were to pass here. In Ohio, man, there's a lot of these. We're
there
probably going to fill the segment with the rest of these. In Ohio, 14 to 50-year-olds can now work up until 9 p.m. year-round. GOP State Senator Bill Reinke blamed parents for stifling their children's careers. Quote, I'm concerned about that in the long term. Those kids who really want to do something with their lives, want to get a job, can still do it, even if they can't get their parents to cooperate with them.
So in this case, parents don't know best.
I guess.
I love how this gets cherry picked.
Really? But then they say nothing can compete with Iowa. There, a Republican bill which passed the Senate this morning at this was mid-April.
And it passed at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, which passed this morning at 4:52 a.m. lets 14-year-olds work 6-hour night shifts. 15-year-olds work on assembly lines, and 16 and 17-year-olds serve alcohol. One clause would permit teenagers to work in unsafe conditions, meat processing plants, mines, construction sites, if it were part of some educational program. Basically, an internship at a slaughterhouse.
Oh, sign me up. And send me into the mines.
And I guess, you know, because I largely think, to me, and if you disagree with me, 844-96-PARTY, would love to hear from you. For middle class, affluent, upper class kids, these laws aren't necessarily there to protect them.
Right.
Right? Like if your parents are secure, you live in a secure, like you have resources, you have a warm bed, and largely the choice to get a job is to teach you work ethic, to have some extra spending money. Like, these are not the jobs you're going to go get, right? Like, if you are in the situation where you don't necessarily have to get a job as a teenager because of your family situation, you want to get a job, or they are encouraging you to get a job. And the jobs you get are, like, a lot of the ones that we've heard, not all of them, but retail, some restaurant jobs,
candy shop.
Quiznos,
yes.
Candy shop, lifeguard. These laws that we're talking about are to protect immigrants, poor people, poor families, because in the long term versus short term, if you're a poor family, it makes a lot more sense in the short term to have your good kid not go to school
and be on an
assembly line,
yeah,
than to make sure they get any kind of education. And so this is, you know, in the name of freedom and letting kids work, and if they want to, they should be able to. I get it. We also still live in capitalism, and young people are easy to exploit. And so to be peeling back some of these laws and kind of like justifying them along the way is exploiting potentially some of the most vulnerable kids among us.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Joe from Wapaka from the 920, making minors pick up the slack for adults being cheap in paying other adults is not the answer for Wisconsin, especially now with more schools potentially closing because of low enrollment. Imagine the enrollment and graduation rate of overworked minors after that.
Good text. All right. Stay here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk.
Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control. Yikes! So you're on your own with the WASPs. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
To As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are much better weather today.
Yes, it is.
Than yesterday.
And tomorrow's going to be beautiful, and it's a good stretch coming, so we're heading in the right direction.
Heading in the right direction, and heading in the direction that you may want to go check out some of our beautiful state parks, which now in partnership with some of our libraries, they're making it a lot easier and cheaper for you to do that because the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is expanding or has expanded their Check Out Wisconsin State Parks at Your Library program.
Which is cool.
Which is very cool. So basically is a program that provides library card holders the opportunity to check out day passes to state parks, forests, and recreation areas. So starting yesterday, more than 160 libraries across Wisconsin will make nearly 6,300 day passes available. So the passes...
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. The passes are valid for free single-day admission for one vehicle at any state park, forest, or recreation area where admission is required. Initially, it was 1,000 day passes at 20 different libraries, and so this is a much bigger program now.
Great. That's great. We have such a wealth. We are so fortunate in this state to have the state park system that we do.
I totally agree. And I realized I started because I was like, oh, like what else? Is there any fun facts that we can announce? So like as we talk about this story. And I think I've realized how few state parks I've actually gone to.
There's so many. Well,
there's so many. But I mean, I don't think I've been to Devil's Lake since I was a kid. I don't think I've gone back since I moved back.
Beautiful area.
I mean, obviously we have Lakeshore State Park in Milwaukee, which I've been to and spend time at, but some of the other big ones, I was like, oh, there's like a long list of prioritizing getting out and taking advantage of how many incredible state parks we have. Do you have one that you frequent or stands out to you?
I would love to go back to Devil's Lake. It's interesting that you say that because I haven't been back there either in 30 years, but one of my sisters and I, a couple summers ago, did a road trip to Bayfield and the Copper Falls State Park, which is on the way north, is just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. And Journal Sentinel has an article for people who are birders.
Ooh.
Sheridan Park in Cudahy on Sunday, birders spotted a rare flame-colored tanager. It's a thing. It's a thing for people who follow birds.
I think I saw this. It was like the first time this bird's ever been spotted in Wisconsin, right?
Yes, ever.
Do you think anyone tried to talk to it?
They should, after we talked to our caller yesterday, who said that birds will recognize you if you try and engage in dialogue, which...
They recognize, especially if you try to mimic their calls.
Right. I talk to hummingbirds when they show up in my yard.
Which is, as we established yesterday, is perfectly fine.
Apparently, I'm not that crazy.
You're not that crazy. but certainly go pick out and check out a free pass. Because it's like, it's one of those things where I feel like you have to, for me, I have to prioritize this. As far as, what are we doing this weekend? Let's make the effort to go check out a state park and like be in nature and turn off our phones.
Have you ever been to Pike Lake State Park?
Mm-mm.
See, that's outside of my hometown. That's outside of Hartford.
Okay.
It's not that far. It's only about an hour. Beautiful lake. Beautiful camping. And it's a short shot. You know, it's not like you have to be in the car for 3.5 hours.
Trying to think. We're going camping in July this year. I can't remember where we're going. I don't know which state park we're going to, but at least we're doing that. I now am married into a family of campers where we do that once a summer. And that's plenty.
Is that for 3 days?
It's for two. Well, it's two nights. Okay. We get there Friday and we leave Sunday.
That's cool.
Which is like the perfect amount.
Yeah. I'm not a great ground sleeper.
I'm trying to imagine you in a tent.
I did it.
Yeah. When's the last time you did it?
30 years ago.
I have a feeling that you like your bed now.
I'm old and creaky. there's a certain amount of comfort that I want in order to enjoy myself.
Yeah.
And that also lends itself to the ease with which I can reach a restroom.
Or just, you don't want to just poop in the woods anymore?
I'd rather not do that.
Well, yeah, so we'll have to go check that out as far as maybe with some state parks nearby that we can go spend a day in.
What are your favorite ones? 844-967-2789. Best state parks in Wisconsin. Which is your fave? I would love to know because, again, we have so many to pick from depending upon where you are in the state.
And I also feel like you have to figure out your bucket list with things like this. Like, high on my bucket list as far as Wisconsin outdoorsy things is the Apostle Islands.
You'll love it.
So you've been?
I have.
Have you done the kayaking and like the whole thing?
I didn't do the kayaking, but I've been up there. Yep.
Because that to me just seems really special and beautiful.
It is.
And I'm trying to think. I go back to the Cave of the Mounds. Haven't been done that since I was a kid.
And they have events in the Cave of the Mounds now.
Like what kind of
they
events?
They have like musical events.
Oh, that's on the acoustics, I imagine it would be.
Right?
Pretty awesome.
I believe there are also like wine tastings and other things. So yeah, Cave of the Mounds, it's hip.
Maybe we'll do that for a day for a segment of get suggestions on like what is your Wisconsin bucket list, specifically with outdoors. Because obviously, I think sometimes there's bucket lists of like go to a Packers game or some of like go state fair or some of the different fairs and stuff like that. But as far as some of our outdoor beauty. What is on your list, or what would you recommend for someone to have on their list? But if you have recommendations now, we'll start collecting the list. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And when we come back, top of the hour, we are going to be talking to author Dan Kaufman.
So looking forward to this.
Me too. And so I'm going to tell the full story when we come back. But his book, which is called The Fall of Wisconsin, it came out in 2018. And there is a chance that As Goes Wisconsin would not be a thing had I not found that book.
Wow.
Back when I was still living in Brooklyn in 2019. So his book came out in 2018. I found out about it in 2019. And it opened my eyes to what was going on in my home state after I hadn't lived there since 2003. And I'm not saying like that was the direct line to coming home in 2020,
right?
But it planted a seed, and so I am very excited to talk to Dan Kaufman both about. I mean, that book's 5 years old now, but as far as the research that went into that, and then also where we are now, and what he kind of assesses of as far as now that we're past the Supreme Court election, are we still falling? Are we rising? Are we stagnant? We'll talk to Dan Kaufman about all of that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life.
Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and WFHR, Services Administration.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News Talk and Sports on both.